The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokats, and welcome. It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2011, and it's November 1st, not November 11th. Too many 11s. It's November 1st, 2011. Let's start over. It's November 1st, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Probably came a little too early here at Rolla J Studios, judging from my intro. But welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. Hope you had a fun Halloween night. We sure did here. Had a lot of guests come over. We had Sarah Frank and her kids, and Jen Alexander and her kids came by, Amy McColm and her kids. I mean, lots of kids here for the Halloween. I got all spooky up there in the porch area, put on the spooky background music and the spider webs and the ghouls and the costumes and everything. Oh, it was a lot of fun. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Now, on today's show, well, it's kind of interesting show today. Cannabis Carrie's not with us today. She's taking care of business up there in Grass Story, getting some important stuff done. So she's got the day off today. But joining me here in the studio for Todd's Toker Topics later in the day, we have Todd Armstrong. How you doing, Todd?
Excellent, excellent. How about yourself, Mr. Belville?
I'm doing just fine. How was your Halloween?
Oh, it was nice. I hung out at home, but then I got messages today on Facebook asking if I was all right because I looked down. Mm-hmm. I later found out a comic went as myself. As his costume and performed as myself in Portland, and I guess he looks like a depressed Todd when he's in costume.
Oh no!
So yeah. I am fine, but Don Frost looks like a sad Todd Armstrong, I guess.
Okay, I don't know how it works out. You got Todd's Toker Topics coming up later today. What's our topic?
Stoners and their pets.
Stoners and their pets. Good topic. All right. When also on today's show, we have got Robert Wolf from the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative. He's joining us to talk about the plans for legalization here in the state of Oregon. Also, today we've got our Electric Tuesday music for you, and I'm bringing you another tune from one of my favorite groups, the Chain Gang of 1974. You know them from that song, Bob Your Effin' Head. Well, I got another song from them called Ethical Drugs. We're going to play that at 20 after. But before all that, we get to our hemp headlines, and in today's headlines, all sorts of interesting news. A billion-dollar drug ring bust in Arizona proves our point about legalization and how it would affect the Mexican drug cartels. Berkeley Patients Group finds that marijuana is preferred over many prescription medications amongst at least two-thirds of their patients. The American Society for Addiction Medicine is, surprise, coming out against marijuana legalization. And an excellent piece by Eric Sterling from the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation on the 1986 drug law that celebrated its 25th anniversary and all of the unseen consequences from that 86 drug law. We'll break those down for you in the Hemp Headlines today. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We are coming back with the news right after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Snack.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the day off today. I'm Radical Russ here with your Normal News. This from the Fox News Latino. Arizona bust, billion-dollar drug ring tied to Mexican cartels. Arizona authorities broke up an alleged Mexican drug cartel distribution network, arresting dozens of smugglers responsible for bringing over $33 million worth of drugs through the state's western desert every month, officials said Monday. The ring is believed to be tied to the Sinaloa cartel, Mexico's most powerful, and responsible for smuggling more than 3.3 million pounds of marijuana, 20,000 pounds of cocaine, and 10,000 pounds of heroin into the U.S. through Arizona over the past 5 years, according to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Their efforts in that time generated an estimated $2 billion, according to ICE. ICE's Homeland Security Investigations and the Pinal County Sheriff's Office arrested 22 suspected smugglers tied to the ring on Thursday, the latest of three busts they say have brought it down following a 17-month investigation dubbed Operation Pipeline Express. In the three busts combined, the agencies have arrested 76 suspected smugglers and seized more than 61,000 pounds of pot, about 160 pounds of heroin, and 210 pounds of cocaine, nearly $760,000 in cash, and 108 weapons, including assault rifles and shotguns. The other busts came in mid-September and mid-October. Although the agencies released some information about Thursday's bust last week, they held back most of their information for a Monday news conference in which they displayed dozens of guns and hundreds of pounds of pot seized for members of the media. The smuggling ring operated using backpackers and vehicles to move drugs from the border to a network of so-called stash houses in the Phoenix area. The drugs were then sold to distributors from states across the country. Well, you know, the first thing I think of when I hear this story is I remember back during the Prop 19 days, back in 2010. Let's go back a few months, shall we? And you recall when we were saying we need to legalize marijuana in the state of California to help cut down on the profits of the Mexican drug cartels. And we oftentimes brought out that statistic that was related to us from the from Hillary Clinton, from the Arizona Attorney General, and it came from ONDCP that said, you know, 60% of their profits were due to marijuana smuggling. And as soon as we started talking about, well, all right, let's legalize marijuana, take 60% of the profits away from the drug cartels, all of a sudden they said, oh, no, 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 we did we say 60%? No, no, there's no way, that has nothing to, no, those figures, that's a long time ago, those things don't count anymore. It's, and then the Rand Corporation came out and said it's like California would affect them like 2%, and he's like, yeah, oh yeah, Rand Corporation, they're great, you know, not now when they say crime and dispensaries, but back then they were great, oh, Rand Corporation. Well, you know, based on these seizure numbers, they're talking about a billion-dollar drug bust, right? Billions of dollars worth of drugs. They seize 3.3 million. They say it's responsible for 3.3 million pounds, millions of pounds of marijuana, thousands of pounds of cocaine and heroin. And in this particular bust, they get 61,000 pounds of pot, but only 160 pounds of heroin, 210 pounds of cocaine. So I did the math on this, being the stats and Excel geek that I am. And if we take them at their word that there was 3.3 million pounds, 20,000 pounds of cocaine, 10,000 pounds of heroin, 3.3 million pounds of marijuana smuggled by these guys, this means 99.1% of their smuggling by weight was marijuana. 99.1%. Even worse, based on what they seized in these recent busts, 61,000 pounds of pot, 160 pounds of heroin, 210 pounds of cocaine, that's 99.4% of it that is related by weight to marijuana in that bust. But then again, people use more marijuana than they use of cocaine. So let's break it down. Eighths of marijuana versus grams of cocaine or heroin, right? Well, that's about 422 million eighths versus about 8.9 million grams and 4.4 million grams of cocaine and heroin. That still works out to 97% of this is marijuana that we're talking about. So whether you talk about breaking it down by weight or breaking it down by user amounts, we're still talking about the same amounts, about 97 to 99% of what the Mexicans are caught with here in Arizona is marijuana. Let's legalize that and take that business away from them. In other news, we briefly reported yesterday on a report from the Berkeley Patients Group. People who qualify for medical marijuana prescriptions frequently report substituting their substance for other prescription medications. In an anonymous survey, 66% of 350 clients at the Berkeley Patients Group, a medical marijuana dispensary, said that they use marijuana as a prescription drug substitute. Their reasons? Cannabis offered better symptom control with fewer side effects than did prescription drugs. Those with pain symptoms said that marijuana has less addiction potential than do opioids. Others said marijuana helped to reduce the dose of other medications. Amanda Ryman, PhD, the Director of Research and Social Services at the Berkeley Center, said, quote, "Instead of having a pain medication, an anti-anxiety medication, and a sleep medication, they are able to just use cannabis, and that controls all of those symptoms." Almost 50% of those surveyed said they use cannabis 2 to 3 times per day. More than 75% of respondents said they had used cannabis for psychiatric disorders, including bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and persistent insomnia. Unlike some psychiatric drugs, they said, marijuana didn't leave them feeling like zombies. Almost 70% of those surveyed were men, and 66% were white, in line with the center's overall demographics. Respondents' mean age was about 40 years old and ranged from 18 to 81. About two-thirds were employed, 81% had at least some college, and 28% made more than $60,000 a year. More than half were single. About 75% had health insurance that covered prescriptions. Even so, quote, "they are still opting to utilize medical cannabis, which is not covered by insurance," end quote, Dr. Ryman said. About 70% said they had a chronic condition such as diabetes or arthritis. Just over half said they used marijuana for pain relief, including arthritis, migraines, and accident-related injuries. Other uses included appetite stimulation and relief from symptoms from carpal tunnel syndrome and multiple sclerosis. The amounts used, typically 3 to 8 grams per week, were fairly stable, with about 70% reporting no change in marijuana use in the past 6 months. Most experience a stable level of use throughout their entire course of treatment, Dr. Ryman said. Now, this was great information that we brought to you yesterday. And again, it's not surprising that when people find a safe, non-toxic herb they can use instead of these addictive, toxic pharmaceuticals that leave you feeling in a stupefied, zombified state and have other unpleasant side effects like, stopping up your bowels, for example, sexual dysfunction. I mean, of course people are going to turn to a safe, non-toxic herb. But there's some people that just can't believe that, and one of them is Dennis Romero, who writes in a blog for LA Weekly, who says, let's see if I can get down to this. He says, "Is this good marketing or is it just science?" He has such quotes as, "More than 70% of the patients said they treated psychiatric disorders by toking up because everyone knows weed makes you more sane in the membrane." So, yeah, you can check out Romero at LA Weekly, just another typical reaction of some of the people who just can't believe people would choose nature over a pharmaceutical pill. And from thirdage.com, we have reporting from the American Society of Addiction Medicine. A medical society restated its opposition to marijuana legalization after its California chapter considered voicing its support for allowing use of the drug in adults. Directors of the American Society for Addiction Medicine met in Washington Sunday to discuss a report from three of its top California members that recommends replacing the state's besieged medical marijuana program with a system that treats and taxes pot like alcohol. The report says, quote, "The best course at this point is to replace the current system of medical marijuana dispensaries and physician recommendations with a more strictly regulated system in which physicians are no longer gatekeepers for access, and fees and taxes for marijuana sales preferentially support education, prevention, and intervention for youth with marijuana-related problems," end quote. Despite the California chapter's belief, the national group hasn't changed its stance on marijuana legalization, saying, quote, "We oppose any changes in law and regulation that would lead to a sudden significant increase in the availability of any dependence-producing drug. This policy includes marijuana, a mood-altering drug capable of producing dependence as well as serious negative mental, emotional, behavioral, and physical consequences." It restated its stance in response to the California Medical Association's endorsement earlier this month of decriminalizing recreational marijuana use for adults 21 and over, said Stuart Gitlow, acting president of the American Society for Addiction Medicine, as reported by the Associated Press. Well, this is kind of interesting, right? We got the California Medical Association, the CMA, which when I first saw the headline, CMA supports marijuana legalization, I thought, country music awards is for marijuana? Wow. But no, the California Medical Association has come out and said we got to legalize marijuana for a public health benefit. It's found that that marijuana prohibition is more harmful to people than is keeping it, you know, making it legal. And now the California group of the the addiction doctors is saying the same thing, that having doctors act as the gatekeepers isn't working, and let's just legalize it for everyone. Odd, isn't it, that the folks that are right there in California seeing how this system works would support legalization, and the ones in Washington, D.C. are the ones to swat them down again. And finally, a piece up on Huffington Post from Eric Sterling makes an incredible set of observations about the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986. This was signed 25 years ago last Thursday. It's 25 years old now, and it was signed by President Reagan after less than 90 days of dickering between the Democratic House and Republican Senate. Now, this was in reaction to the death of Len Bias, the basketball star who was signed by the Boston Celtics. And remember, Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House at the time, he himself from Boston. And he saw this as a political opportunity to get tough on drugs and, you know, point kind of show Reagan that Democrats could be tougher than Republicans on drugs. Well, here's some of the crazy stuff that we ended up with because of this 1986 law. First of all, the drug-free schools program of 86 got $12 billion over 20 years. Every evaluation found it did not reduce drug use. We came up with a designer drug law in 1986 that prohibited classes of drugs before they could even be invented and before they could be found to be beneficial or harmful. The presumption behind this ban that any new drug would be dangerous or bad stigmatizes and deters discovery of new potentially good drugs. And like most of the provisions of the 86 law, it failed to do anything to stop new drugs from coming out, like ecstasy and the synthetic cannabis of Spice and K2 and the stimulants that are marketed as bath salts. We had a National Forest System Drug Control Act of 1986 that was supposed to protect the national forests, but also in the 86 Act, it gave such benefits to drug asset forfeiture for patrolling in urban areas to try to find the heat signatures and the big rake-em-in bus that the cops want to make money, that it led the money-making grow operations to move out to the national forests. We also have the 1986 law, a requirement that other countries be certified that they're fighting the good fight against drugs. Well, that helped to, when we decertified Colombia, that helped to lower our, view in the Colombians' eyes. It helped the terrorists of FARC and ELN and AUC to get control and start, causing problems and having a narco war right down there in Colombia. Heroin profits are funding the Taliban enemies. Mexico is awash in blood. It's time to end the war on drugs. It's just not working. All right, folks. Well, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we are going to bring you some more great stuff here on Normal Show Live. Stick around. There's my break. That was 12 seconds early, Todd. What can I say?
You're good at it. You earned it. That was intense. You earned it.
Thank you. Hey, when we come back, some more music from Chain Gang of 1974. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the marijuana nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from handmadeapparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, the designs feature their iconic logos and the "It's Got to Be 420 Somewhere in the World" tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Ivy Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
Ganja Computer.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, welcome back. And for Electric Tuesday, you know, one of my favorite songs that is in our Electric Tuesday rotation is from a band with the great name, The Chain Gang of 1974. And you've heard it before on the rotation. It's called Bob Your Effin' Head. And I just love the tune. And I thought, yeah, let's check up on these guys and see what they're up to. Maybe we can find another song from them that would fit in the Electric Tuesday lineup. And sure enough, I did find this tune released just this year, June 21st, 2011, from the Chain Gang of 1974. This is Ethical Drugs. Dig it on your Electric Tuesday.
Ooh. to heaven and hell inside a prison cell, held in captivity.
That's the Chain Gang of 1974 with Ethical Drugs. Check them out on myspace.com, the Chain Gang of 1974, for more great music for downloads. Hey, when we come back, it's Todd's Toker Topics. We're going to talk about stoners and their pets right after this.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
It's true what they say, cops and women don't mix. It's like eating a spoonful of Drano. Sure, it'll clean you out, but it'll leave you hollow inside.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.normal.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Here at Normal Show Live, we spend all week taking a serious look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it is important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So on Tuesdays, our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, or Goob the Knob on Facebook and Twitter, joins us to expose the lighter side of lighting up with Todd's Toker Topics.
I got to adjust a camera there, and welcome back. We are joined by Todd Armstrong here, ready to give us the latest toker topic. What's on tap today?
What's on tap today is tokers and their pets, stoners and their pets.
It's going to be good for me with Roscoe the dog here.
I love Roscoe. Jack Russell Terrier is a perfect example of stoners and their pets. Russ is a perfect example of a good stoner and his pet. He bought the right dog, or acquired the right dog, for him. Hyper, active, and very, very in tune with what he exactly wants to do. This is a good, responsible pet owner. And I want to talk about both sides of that today, because stoners love their pets. I have a 10-year-old beagle myself. He has no teeth, bad breath, and I kiss him on the mouth because I love him. That's what stoners do. Yeah. Now, the bad side of that, though, is I sometimes give him too many treats, and that's why he's fat. That's the bad side of stoners, and it can get darker from there, because I'm going to say it, and I apologize to stoners, we have a problem. We are the exotic pet people. We need to stop. I cannot tell you how many weed people I've met with prairie dogs and sugar gliders and iguanas. Stop it, please. Don't buy a tortoise that lives 140 years. Please, you can barely even handle a pair of jeans for 2 months. Do not get a 140-year-old tortoise. And please, 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 please stop buying birds. They fly, for God's sakes. They don't want to be in your house or in a cage. They make documentaries for us. We are there. We make documentaries. It's like having your face on a fish tank forever. Stoners, we quit doing fish tanks in the 70s. We can quit getting over the exotic pets of the 80s and 90s. We need to stop this. Look what happened in Ohio. I'm not saying he was a stoner who had 20 giraffes and 20 lionesses, and he was probably a stoner. Come on, people. We know these things. He had 20 lions. Who wants 20 lions other than a guy that's gotten really bored watching HD versions of BBC Planet Earth over and over and over again? Just like my dad, I knew he was a stoner when I was a kid because he had fish tanks. You know those things. You don't want to grow up with the smell of a bird or a fish tank. So two things I want to focus on is we need to stick with dogs and cats. They're mutually beneficial. They love you. They snuggle you. And for the longest time, dogs have been around with us. They eat our scraps. They alarm us when things are going on. Cats get rid of rodents, and also they get rid of really weird guys. I don't know why. Cats know I'm weird. I don't like cats because I'm allergic to them, so I'm a dog person, and I recognize that. But what I want to focus on here is please stop buying pets. We need to stop buying pets, acquiring pets, stop going to private zoos and all these fun things, because when you buy something that you're supposed to love for a long time, because that's what a pet is, you really can't give it the love it needs. So adopt a pet from the Humane Society, a normal pet, and know full well when you get that pet, it's going to last a lot longer than the high that you thought of a good name. I'm coming to you and telling you this right now. I made the decision as a professional comedian to have Goob the Knob be my professional tag. I made that decision high, and I'm stuck with it now. But that's a stupid internet name, not a 140-year-old tortoise. I love you, stoners, but let's stick with dogs and cats. Remember, they live for 10 or 12 years. You're going to have a toddler for 10 or 12 years. They're not always fun, but you love them to death. Kiss them on the mouth. Get them really baked. Don't give them popcorn, peanuts, chocolate, or salmon. I'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Yay. Todd Stoker Topics. Congratulations. Yes. We love it. So, Todd, what's where are you headed next? I know you're always performing.
I'm lucky this week. This week I'm in town, and the next week I'm also in town as well. I'm at Helium Comedy Club, open for the beautiful and hilarious Aisha Tyler from E. And
no!
Yeah, I'll be there all week.
I'm going to have to go to Helium this week.
You should. She's gorgeous and hilarious.
Yeah,
and
she is hilarious.
You can't go wrong with that.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to do some government at work. We've got Bob Wolf here from OMPI talking about legalization here in the state of Oregon. So stick around. It's Normal Show Live. Be right back after this.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire up right now.
This is Normal Show Live.
Hi, it's Lively Libra and
Mr. Libra,
and we are hosts of
The Libra Lounge,
which can be heard on this network at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, or find replays and all other information at thelibralounge.com.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. Next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
NORML stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NORML chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for a change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, welcome back. And joining us today, we have Bob Wolf from the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative. Bob, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Wes. Thank you very much.
All right. And
hi, everybody.
And so we've had you on the show before. We had you and Jennifer Alexander and Lee Berger all on the show at once, and it's kind of, you know, talking about three different things going on at once. So I thought it'd be good to get you back here where we can spend a little bit more time to talk about specifically what you've got going on with OMPI. So lay it out for us. What's happening?
All right. Well, here's the thing. I spent my summer running around the Northwest. I went to five hemp fests, the first five ever, and I spoke to a lot of people from all segments of the marijuana community, the medical marijuana community, everybody from growers to distributors to essentially what are retailers, trying to develop consensus and gain support for our campaign. And one thing I realize is that, you know, we can be a contentious community. And another thing is that I realized, and I'm just going to lay it out here, the industry has grown to the point now where there's enough money in these different segments of the industry that we have broken into units of economic self-interest. And people say, why aren't we working together? Well, it's because the growers and the retailers and the consumers sometimes have differing economic needs and revenue streams. Mm-hmm. And we're going the way of almost any industry, which is we'll have those different segments of the industry, and they'll have their own trade groups and their own lobbyists at some point, and we'll actually be competing with each other for a bigger slice of the consumer dollar. So I realize that what we need in Oregon is not to rely on another activist-only campaign, but we need to take this mainstream. And I think the time is now, and I think we've got a plan to make that happen. And when I think of marijuana as an issue, I want it to be right up there with every mainstream democratic and progressive issue. I want it to be equal to gay rights. I want it to be equal to women's rights. I want it to be equal to anything that we do to protect segments of our society. And part of this is driven by the research I did. And I realized that over time, more than 1.2 million Oregonians, a third of our population, have tried marijuana. Every single year, according to the government, 475,000 of us smoke marijuana. 360,000 of those are regular. 50,000 of those are patients. These are enormous numbers. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that something that many of us do should still be illegal.
Yeah.
So I'm busy right now integrating our campaign into the mainstream of Oregon politics. We formed a PAC. We formed a petition committee. We're starting to gather signatures. And one of the most exciting things, and I'm afraid I can't be extremely specific, but we have landed a team of very mainstream, highly connected Democratic campaign experts who have done many positive things in the state, run many mainstream campaigns, gotten many mainstream, top-notch, progressive politicians elected, and they've agreed to work on our campaign for the duration.
Oh, fantastic. So what are we campaigning on specifically? Is there more than one thing?
Well, let's get to that. The OMPI initiative is a constitutional amendment that would simply remove criminal penalties for adult use, possession, and production of marijuana for personal use. And it's two sentences long, and it leaves it wide open for the state to enact further regulation if it wants, such as a distribution or taxation or permit system, but it doesn't require it. And I contrast this. It's three sentences long, Russ. Everybody
yeah.
gets it. And it's sneakily and deceptively powerful. And if we pass it, we're going to have a mandate to open things up fairly wide for individuals to engage in nonviolent personal marijuana behavior without the threat of jail, criminal sanctions, felony sanctions, kids losing their scholarships for getting caught with a little bit of pot on campus, and all kinds of other negative things that right now affect us. This year, there's going to be 475,000 Oregonians that are going to be technically criminals, and that's just not right, and this initiative would stop it. Now, this is in direct contrast to initiatives in Oregon that are not looking like they're going to make the ballot, and it's also in contrast to initiatives in other states that are large, comprehensive, incredibly detailed, that attempt to impose on the voting public an entirely developed marijuana economy without debate.
Yeah,
and I think that those—that's a too big of a chunk of change for the public to swallow at one time.
Well, you know, we could contrast that with or compare that with the removal of alcohol prohibition. When that happened, they didn't go and say, "All right, now the liquor shall be 3.2 beer, and it shall be this percent in proof, and you can only sell till 2, and you can only do this, you can only say," you know, they left that to the states to make up those decisions.
They did. They left it to the states, and we want to. To a degree, leave it to the legislature, which is under the influence of the voters. But we remember this is a constitutional amendment. We're putting this in the Constitution because we don't want the politicians to futz with it later, and we don't want the feds to be able to futz with it later either. And somebody may ask, well, is this the appropriate kind of thing to be in our Constitution? And I say it is. You know, prohibition was in the U.S. Constitution. The repeal of prohibition is in the Constitution. And our very simple three-sentence amendment is the kind of simple statement of citizens' rights that directly belongs in the Constitution. And the details can be figured out statutorily or through rulemaking, through the legislature, through the voters taking up another initiative. And that's okay. But we want to enshrine in the Constitution that no one goes to jail for pot in Oregon.
Here it is right here. You can go to the web at ompicampaign2012.org, and they got a link up there where you can click ballot measures. And here it is. Here's the three sentences. Except for actions that endanger minors or public safety, neither the criminal offenses and sanctions nor the laws of civil seizure and forfeiture of this state shall apply to the private, personal use, possession, or production of marijuana by adults 21 years of age or older. Sentence 1. Sentence 2. The state may enact laws and regulations consistent with this amendment to reasonably define, limit, and regulate the use, possession, production, sale, or taxation of marijuana under state law. Important word there, may. And third, To allow the state time to enact laws and regulations consistent with this amendment shall become effective in the normal course, but shall not become operational until 6 months after its effective date. So basically, all right, here's the deal. We're dropping this on you. Constitutional right to personal use, cultivation, and you got 6 months to figure it out. Otherwise, it's just open season.
That's exactly it. And the timeline is going to work something like this. Starting this summer, I'm going to impanel a group of people in the Oregon industry to have a series of public meetings and then devise a set of rules that we think should be in place when this measure passes. Then in November, the measure passes. The following 1st of February, the Oregon legislature convenes, and boom, we have our proposal on their desk, taking the high ground, letting them know that we got this passed, we have a mandate, and here's the rules that we'd like to have in effect. And let the debate begin.
Yeah, I like it. It's very simple. And again, it's that model of the alcohol prohibition where it was, we just no longer make it a criminal offense. And now, you know, now you've got the impetus here. You got the need to create the system. And now you can solicit input from the people who are already involved with marijuana. You can solicit input from law enforcement. You can solicit input from parents groups, whoever, whatever, however we want to decide it.
Right. You know, a lot of people will push back against the notion that elected officials or law enforcement have a say in the issue. And I find that to be, frankly, just a bit naive. Of course they have a role. Of course they're stakeholders. And we have to let them have input. They're going to be part of it. We'd like to get to a point, of course, where you know, cops aren't trying to make marijuana law, like they don't try to create alcohol law, but they enforce the existing laws when big problems arise. That's how society works with alcohol and prescription drugs and everything else, and it's how it should work with marijuana. And, you know, another thing is that I think we have to move beyond some of the rhetoric of the marijuana community. We like to debate amongst ourselves a lot about exactly what the right marijuana policy is. And I think all the policies that advance the issue of freedom of adult use and possession are positive. And so I'm in favor of any of those changes, even if they're incremental. But I think for the general public, and our polling shows this, the talk about marijuana being the God drug granted to us by the deity, or that it should be free for all and no one should hinder the plant of, you know, or that it's going to save the world because have you heard about the nutritional and fiber benefits? I don't think that flies that well. I think it's complex and maybe even overstating the case for marijuana. I think it's much more simple than that. No one should go to jail for a personal behavior that harms nobody else.
Yeah.
That's more –
whether there are plants involved or not.
That's more appealing to the general public. And so we're not going to engage in that kind of debate with our campaign. We're going to instead set up prohibition itself as the enemy.
Right.
It's time for government to end prohibition for the second time. Let's end prohibition again. Didn't work before. It ain't working now. All the same problems with alcohol prohibition that we saw, which is the creation of a drug culture, a drug gang culture, a criminal underground, black market profits, a corruption of politicians and the political process. All that is taking place now. The violence, the guns, all that as a result of prohibition, not as a result of marijuana. And I think we can attack prohibition as our target, and a lot of people of all age groups will respond to this. Now, I'm going to just shout out to Ken Burns. Thanks for running your major news documentary on prohibition just when I'm using this theme to promote marijuana. I appreciate your timing, sir. And we're also going to talk about the waste of government resources, because let's face it, if you're a Republican or a Democrat or really anybody, a Tea Partier or a progressive who thinks the government's wasting money, I have an idea. You know what the biggest government program is that wastes the most money and is the least effective? It has totally failed. It's prohibition of marijuana. It's the worst failed government program of our age. And so we can talk about
Vietnam War.
Well, war in general is unfortunately, I'm not going to tackle war. I think I can win on marijuana.
Oh, yeah. I win that one.
War, I'm going to, you know, that's next. It's afterwards. But basically, people don't want to spend money on this kind of silly attack of individuals engaging in nonviolent personal marijuana behavior anymore. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a misallocation of our social resources, our political resources, our law enforcement resources. The police that are enforcing these laws do so because the laws exist. Some of them have a profit motive as well, and maybe we can start to take that away. But I don't think that enforcement of these laws is in accordance with our social mores anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that it's okay to go to jail for a little bit of pot anymore.
That's right. We're at 50% for legalization overall nationwide and in every demographic group, even the people that don't support it majority yet, every demographic group, it's risen since 2005. So time and tide is on our side. Hey, Robert, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. You've got another ballot measure we're looking at as well, and we'll dig a little deeper into the Oregon political scene. This is Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is Normal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
All right, welcome back. We are sitting here with Robert Wolf from the Oregon Marijuana Policy Initiative, and of course, Todd Armstrong still with us as well. And you mentioned briefly about we bicker amongst ourselves a lot, and there's a lot of entrenched interests now. With that in mind, how does medical marijuana, as it is here in the state of Oregon, with some 55,000 patients, and the way things are set up now, how much does that affect the way that you roll out the campaign? In that, I know with Prop 19, we had a situation where there was people that were actually against 19 because of medical marijuana. They didn't want to see medical marijuana go away. How do you address those fears and conflicts of interest, if it were?
Well, first off, I-24, as our measure is now known, Initiative 24, doesn't change medical marijuana program in Oregon whatsoever. It doesn't even address it. It really addresses the needs of the other 425,000 regular users in Oregon and everybody who might use in the future and takes away the possibility of criminal sanctions and felony penalties for them. The patients are absolutely with us. You know, one thing I've learned in my year of activism around cannabis issues is that the patients are real. They have real needs. Cannabis is extremely helpful, necessary for many of them. And whether we pass all the legalization or decriminalization laws in the world or not, they're still going to need special help, special attention. They need more cannabis than most of us. They need a specific kind of cannabis. They need help acquiring it because many of them are disabled or not terribly mobile. And so I think the medical program will always exist. However, some revenue streams might dry up, to be honest with you. If everybody can grow three or five plants without the chance of a criminal penalty, then fewer people might be inclined to try to get into the medical program. So the number of cardholders might go down. The number of cardholders goes down. All the clinics that are currently facilitating card acquisition for a fee, they might see a drop in business. And frankly, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that medical marijuana has been a very important step in tuning up public awareness of and acceptance of cannabis as a widespread product that has legitimate needs. And I think also as we move forward with research into medical cannabis, there are going to be some real drugs that come out of that process that have widespread efficacy and will be used by a whole bunch of patients. But in the short run, this won't change the medical program at all, and it's not designed to either enhance or hamper the medical program. It's designed to keep the other 425,000 marijuana-using Oregonians out of jail as a major first step towards universal adult access to marijuana.
Okay. Well, let me throw you some softballs here that we're going to hear from the opposition, because I've heard them before. They'll say, well, number one, nobody in Oregon goes to jail really for pot anyway, less than an ounce is decrim. Number two, my God, what about the children? Increased access for children. And number three, all those stone drivers on the road.
All right. Well, tell me number one again. It was no one goes to jail anyway.
No one really goes to jail for pot. It's decrim under an ounce, man.
I'll tell you what happens to 13,000 people a year in Oregon. They get cited, and they get a fine of up to $1,000 for possession of less than an ounce. Some of them go to diversion programs and get a reduced fine, but now they're in the system forever and ever. Amen. We actually have a situation where police officers in several counties aggressively check every traffic stop and every other stop they make against the patient database to see if somebody has a card. And then they ask for the card, even though they are legally enjoined from this behavior, unless a marijuana activity that might be a crime is already underway. But they're doing it anyway, and we can't seem to find the way to easily stop them. I think that the real problem here, and they do arrest several thousand people a year on larger marijuana charges, although they convict only a handful, a dozen or two dozen a year. But they spend $100 to $150 million a year in doing this. And I think that the waste of money is equally big a problem as anything else in the industry. And the fact that they have a revenue stream coming from writing 13,000 citations every year, and they have a revenue stream coming from property and asset forfeitures, I think that gives us police for hire by outside sources other than the communities where they police. And I think that their activities of the police, let's see if I can phrase this the right way, the profit motive for police to go after marijuana users has to be removed, and this would take care of that as well. So not that many people do go to jail, but almost a million people a year nationwide get arrested anyway for marijuana, and 13,000 get cited for marijuana possession alone in Oregon every year. And we need to put all that to bed. This is a misallocation of police time and resources and money, and we need to stop it.
We need to stop it, and you can do so here in Oregon. Get involved at OMPICampaign2012.org. Robert Wolf's the head of OMPI, and thanks for joining us again.
Of course, thank you.
All right, folks, check out the links at our blog at stash.normal.org. We'll have all of this information for you as well. Get educated so we can get it regulated. It's time to end prohibition of marijuana for adults, and you can do it because they aren't going to legalize marijuana. We are. All right, I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at normal.org, thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.